Afternoon. I'll start with a quick review of Sunday night's performance. Obviously, it was a victorious one, a much-needed road AFC North victory. When you look at it and assess the performances in our three phases, thought going into the game, we talked about some themes or issues or areas of much-needed improvement. I like the way the guys responded to those challenges and those areas, and I think it helped in us securing the victory. Offensively, we talked about going into the game, they were averaging about 3.0 yards per carry in the run game. We wanted to improve on that. I think we finished with 5.9. It aided a strong run game performance. I thought we did a nice job up front getting hats on hats. I thought all the running backs did a nice job, of course, highlighted by Jonathan Dwyer's efforts, but also Chris Rainey and Baron Batch and others I thought did a nice job. On defense, we had to do a better job of getting off the field on third downs. Going into the game, I think we're 49% or something conversion rate. We held them down into the high 30s, 37, 38. But more importantly than that, I thought we got off the field in the second half. And I think 4-3 and outs were critical for us closing the game out. And in the special teams game, we wanted to be explosive in the return game. We think we're capable of that. We believe we have some dynamic return men. Penalties negated that effort. And what's going on in the return game from a penalty standpoint is disturbing. We must improve in that area. To be quite honest with you, the multiple offenders or egregious offenders are going to be watching as opposed to playing as soon as we get some options in regards to who plays and who doesn't. Right now with the injuries, we have minimal options. We'll continue to work with these men. But first chance we get, we'll send a strong message in regards to that we won't accept that type of performance. Again, we feel like we can be explosive in that area, provided we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. I thought we did that in the football game. Talking about the injuries, Will Allen, of course, sprained his ankle. He may be limited in early portions of the week. We anticipate him being able to participate. Marcus Gilbert will be out again this week, as will Troy. Guys with an opportunity to participate are Rashard Mendenhall, Isaac Redman, Chris Carter. We expect Marquise Pouncey to be practicing tomorrow and back in action on Sunday. But, again, we'll kind of take that day by day. The rest of them are bumps and bruises that occur along the way in regards to the injuries. And looking at the Redskins, let's talk about them for a few minutes. Talking about their offense, I think first it starts with their run game. They're number one in the league. They have the number one rusher in the NFC in Alfred Morris, and they got the number six rusher in RG3. That's a catalyst for them, no question. Morris is a one-cut deliberate runner. He's very good in the toss game. The toss sweep game is excellent. He's a downhill runner. He runs hard. He finishes. He's about 4.8 or 4.9 per carry. RG3, they have design runs for him out of the pistol, some option-type runs. But he also generates quite a bit of yards in broken plays, pass plays, where he breaks contain. Just finished watching him go 78 yards or so against someone there a few weeks ago, just this morning. He's that type of breakaway runner. You know, we got our hands full there. He's over 7.5 per carry. And I think that's what generates a lot of their offense. I think their play pass game is spectacular. I think that's one of the reasons that RG3 is completing 70% of his passes. They run the ball extremely well, and their play pass game is stellar. And they get yards in chunks, and he uses a variety of receivers. Fred Davis has been one of them. Of course, he's injured now. I'd imagine that Chris Cooley is going to be a quick study, but he throws balls to Hankerson. Santana Moss has been in Washington for a long time. He's got four touchdowns. He's over 15 yards per carry. He's a splash play guy for him. Josh Morgan has stepped up and taken advantage of opportunity due to the injury of Pierre Garçon. They just got a bunch of guys are capable of throwing the ball to. They do a nice job of mixing the play pass with the run game. Their run game is a right-handed pitch, if you will. They do a nice job of running the ball, but they also have some nice gadget runs, exploiting the talents of RG3 and some gadget-like men, Banks being one of them. They just do a really nice job. Defensively, they've got quality players at every level. If you look up front, I think it starts with Barry Cofield, their active nose. He's very good at rushing the passer and breaking down the pocket. He's also solid against the run. They have experiencing some loss at the linebacker position with Arapco being out. But Kerrigan is very good. You know, he's very good with his cut blocks in the screen game, rushing the passer. He's a really, really solid left outside linebacker for him. Of course, London Fletcher has been playing for about 15 years. You know, we're preparing to see him play. You know, I know there's been reports of a hamstring and so forth. This guy's played in over 200 straight games. That doesn't happen by accident. If he's breathing, we expect to see him in the stadium and playing the way that he plays. They got some solid veteran guys in the secondary. D'Angelo Hall is a top-quality player, of course. And I think Madu Williams has provided some big-time stability for him at the safety position. Of course, special teams units are always solid, led by Danny Smith. He's been there a long time and has had a good track record of success in this league. I'll be happy to address any questions.
Mike, does the depth chart change at all? You talked about Dwyer's performance. If everyone's healthy, does the depth chart stay the same regardless of what these kind of backup guys are able to do?
You know, we're going to base those judgments on what it looks like as these guys prepare and get closer to game action during the week. You know, we're not going to hypothesize what that might be. We'll simply react to it and come up with the best formula that's suited for us being successful this week.
Mike, is it important, do you think, in the running game for a running back to get in a rhythm, to get a lot of carries? All things being equal and everybody being healthy, would you like to have one guy get most of the carries?
You know, I think that theory depends on the back. I think some guys do actually warm up to action. I think some guys, it's irrelevant. They step in the stadiums ready to carry. I think every running back is different. In regards to us, we're in the process of developing our formula for the week based on who's available to us. And really, that's going to be revealed to us over the course of the next couple of days.
When Rashard is healthy, is he that type of back that needs to get in the rhythm, needs work?
No, he hadn't been one that I thought needed to warm up, if you will. I know that he hasn't expressed that to me over the years, but I imagine I haven't run across a featured runner that doesn't want the ball a lot. You know, I think that's always the case.
Mike, what kind of grade did Willie Colon get after viewing the film? Was it one of his best games? And is it partially explainable that he's now beginning to get settled in at that new position?
You know, I think that's a fair assessment. First and foremost, I thought he played really well. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he was physical. I thought he finished plays. I thought he was a tempo setter for us in that regard with some of the young guys and so forth that we had playing in our offensive line. You know, we expect him to be a guy on the rise over the first half of the season, if you will. He's new to the guard position. He's new to the left side of the offensive line. All of those transitions we acknowledge, but at the same time, we expect his play to be above a certain line, and it has been and needs to continue to be.
And speaking of those young guys, what was your assessment on how tackle Mike Adams performed Sunday?
Again, like we've talked about in here in the recent past, you know, we're optimistic about his talent level and what he's capable of being, and he didn't do anything to hurt that assessment. You know, think he's continuing to be a guy on the rise. I think his performance was a solid one. I thought he was good in the run game. I thought he was good on the second level, some combination blocks, and I thought he represented himself well in pass pro. A nice next step for him. I'm sure he is excited about having the next opportunity to prove his skills versus a solid pass rusher like Kerrigan.
Mike Wallace had a few drops again. Is that a concentration thing? And if it is, how do you get a guy to concentrate more?
You know, I think he's best suited to answer that in regards to concentration. What I'm concerned about is the result. And obviously the result is not one that we're looking for. He needs to improve in that area.
Mike, you talked about working with the special teams guys to correct those mistakes, the penalties. What can you do?
You can take the helmet off of them and have them watch. And that's what we intend to do if they don't improve in that area. The egregious offenders and the repeat offenders.
So it's a deterrent in that?
Absolutely.
Coach, what are some of the keys? You said about the defense getting off the field on third downs better, particularly in the second half. What did you like from your defense in that context? Where did you see the most improvement?
I thought we did a nice job of rushing the passer collectively and shrinking the pocket. It didn't necessarily manifest itself in terms of sacks. But I thought it affected the throwing lanes. I thought it reduced the throwing lanes. I thought rush and coverage worked well together in those circumstances. So all in all, it was a good collective effort, if you will.
Coach, what are some of the keys to slowing down and containing RG3?
You know, we're working on that as we speak, you know. You know, obviously, not a lot of people have been successful thus far. His quarterback rating is over 100. He's a 6th-rated rusher in the NFC. So we've got our work cut out for us. We acknowledge that he's a top-quality player. His unique skills probably reduce you some in what you're capable of doing comfortably defensively. But at the same time, we can't sit back and be passive. We got to attack and play the wild personality and hopefully reduce what he's capable of doing or at least minimize it. He's a quality, talented player, one that generates a lot of what they do offensively and as a football team. And I think our preparation starts there in regards to preparing for the Redskins.
Sorry about that. Are those the design running plays that they have for Griffin, is that the same stuff that he did in college, or how much different is it than what he may have?
No, it's really not. You know, I think he was more of a pocket guy and passer in college and really created what he did in the running game through broken plays. This is somewhat different. This is a pistol attack, an option attack, a design running attack with quarterback leads and draws and so forth. So didn't necessarily remember that about his Baylor tape. It was more a run game as a function of opportunity.
Is he taking a lot of hits when he does that and putting himself at risk?
He's a very elusive and fast guy. I'm sure there's some people that would like to hit him. I don't know how successful they've been.
Mike, was the use of Curtis Brown related to what Cincinnati does, or were you looking for something internally there, and how did that go?
You know, like I've mentioned several times during the course of the year, as we get into the season, we're introduced other packages, and dime is a package that we desire to have, of course, one that is necessary. Curtis Brown is our fourth corner. They utilize some personnel groups that lend itself to us exploring that, and we'll just continue to do that. As we run across issues and opportunities, we'll continue to add to our units offensively, defensively, and in special teams. To continue to grow and develop schematically as a football team. 30 did a solid job.
Mike, approximately how often did Ike get some help with Green, and what percentage of the time was he just on him one-on-one?
You know, I don't have that breakdown. You know, we were thoughtful in terms of mixing it up, but, you know, you can't take anything away from his performance. So 30 did a nice job.
Mike, did you ever get an explanation on the two-point confusion from the –
I did. I thought I gave it to you guys after.
I mean, did the league or referees explain to you what happened?
No need to communicate with the league. Those guys did a nice job of communicating with me at the stadium in terms of the reason why the miscommunication happened.
You talk about Jonathan Dwyer and kind of where he's at compared to where he was when he first got brought in here and what he kind of brings to the running game.
You know, he's a guy in the group that's working, that's evolving and maturing as a player and as a person. It's good to see him take advantage of opportunities when presented. I think that helps his cause and ours. He's a guy in development. We like how it's going as far as we sit here today.
Like what they do with Morris as a running back and with their offensive linemen, is it similar to some of the other attacks that you've seen Shanahan implement during his time as a coach?
It kind of looks like Kyle, who I'm familiar with, of course. I worked with Kyle Shanahan years ago down in Tampa. He's their offensive coordinator. He's an outside-the-box thinker, a guy that likes mixed direction pass, a guy that likes play-action pass. Guy's not afraid to explore the possibilities, pistol being one of them, to maximize and utilize the talents of the men that he has. So, you know, it's not something that's outside of the line of the thinking of the play caller, so I'm not surprised by it at all.
Do they run the same zone blocking scheme that he ran in Denver with the cut blocks on the backside?
There's elements of that, but this is a diverse attack. They attack you in a lot of ways and give you a lot of things to be prepared for. And they challenge you in that way.
And Mike, what do you feel like about the efficiency of the offense so far after 16? What do you like and what needs upgrading?
You know, we're about 3-3, you know. We've had some successes. Obviously, there's some things that we need to improve upon. I think we're in the midst of improving upon, but the proof is in the pudding. And our next opportunity is Sunday. We're excited about putting a solid balance attack on the grass, hopefully one that produces victory.
Mike, is Griffin comparable that – anybody you've coached against or with?
You know, not anyone directly comes to mind. You know, we're talking about a guy that's 6th in the NFC in rushing and completing over 70% of his passes. So to this point, I think he's writing his own script.
Are you surprised by it that a guy can come in and be that successful right off the bat? Obviously, I think 5 rookies started.
I'm not. I think that more than anything, the coaches and organizations that are playing these young guys are doing a nice job of playing to their strengths. And they're doing that in Washington. Obviously, they've got continuity in Miami with their young fella, with their offensive coordinator being his college head coach. I just think more than anything, they've been very conscious about surrounding them with familiarity from a schematic standpoint and leaning on their athletic strengths, I think, which is smart.
That hadn't been said, Mike. It used to be that the colleges kind of follow the pros. But with all the spread you're seeing in college, has that affected now the NFL game and the way people approach offenses?
You know, I think it could be an argument for that, but, you know, I think it could be also be an argument against it. You know, it depends on who you're talking to and what offenses you're looking at. That's the beautiful thing about NFL football. It's a challenge every week. Every week you're presenting it with a new and unique one. This is a unique one that we face this week, one that's going to stress us in a lot of ways, and we're excited about working at the process here, preparing for it.
Anything else?
Mike, Lawrence Timmons, when you guys play the Eagles, you know, not that Vic's as fast now as he was back in the day like Griffin is now, but is this a situation where you can use him in a similar fashion against the Redskins the way you did against Philadelphia?
I don't remember specifically what we did that was so outside of the box in terms of utilizing him versus Philly, but absolutely.
All right, thank you.